Let us pray. Sweet Lord, open our hearts to your word so that we may grow in love, in faith, and in discipleship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from Psalm 1. If you would please join me as we sing. We're going to read that together. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But in their delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in the season, and in their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the wicked will perish. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Listen now for the word of the Lord. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to betray into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat them down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our other reading is from James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 4, 3, and 7, 8. Hear the word of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You know, when you look at the title, when I saw that, "Oh, to be wise." I think most of us, wise isn't the way we grew up wanting to be. We wanted to be the best or the greatest. If you look at what Jesus was saying in the Gospels, and I'm going to walk through this with you. That's the best way I find sometimes when you pick up scripture from another pastor they were intended to preach from and see what the intent was. Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about?" To me, that reveals something almost like being a father. When he said that, he clued us in, there's no place that you can get and hide that I don't know what you're doing. I'll never forget coming home, must have been about 12, and my mother says, "Why were you swimming in the creek?" Now, I have no idea to this day how she knew. We laid out in the sun and dried and got everything, got rid of all the mud, and she knew. So many times, people want to hide and think, well, God won't find out. We had an end on a team, and we were watching it after films, and he missed a tackle, and he ran over, and he threw his hands over the numbers. And the coach said, Saunders, do you not realize I can run this backwards and find out who you are? Christ has us in his sights. That's not a bad thing. But it's something we sometimes forget. We think he only sees us when we walk through that door. But he walks with us. It's interesting how they responded. But always that exception. They kept quiet. Why? They were arguing. Must have been Presbyterians, I know for sure. About who was the greatest. Being number one has become an obsession. In our politics, our sports, I'll never forget of being asked, don't you feel bad you're not number one? I said, hey, number three ain't too bad at all. That being number one, giving trophies to everybody, seems to want to satisfy that. But see, Jesus knew a little secret that wasn't quite getting revealed right then. Earlier I had you look at sinners. Do you know if you looked at right and left right now, you would see the friends you would see in heaven who all have eternal life just like you do, that were blessings to one another, that when Christ said, come unto me, he was talking to all of us. And therefore, we can say to him, we've got our trophies. We don't need to be beating our chest. You know, it started many years ago. Remember when McDonald's and Burger King started arguing about who was best instead of telling us what they did? We churches got in that, and then we wonder why Christianity has ebbed in the United States, because we're fighting each other. I can't tell you when I drive in from Lake Panasoffkee how many churches I pass. And some of them have been spinoffs from another church, and, you know, where two or three gather my name, there'll be an argument and we'll split. And that's not what it's about. Then Jesus goes on. If anyone wants to be first. Now, first means to be remembered, to be revered. You know, imagine coming to church in about 3 weeks and say, you remember what's his name who died last week? That's not what it's about. It's not to be remembered, but you say, remember what's his name who used to help clean the church or who served the dishes or who was the one of visiting people and doing things. They're remembered not by their name, but by their actions. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be first, let's talk about that. And then he says, they must be the very last. How many of you went to school and they start off, say, okay, whoever's going to be last in this class will get to be the valedictorian. If they'd done that after I got through with juice, I would have been valedictorian. My electric professor said, don't you ever touch a wire again, I'll pass you. But, you know, we sometimes struggle with what's it mean to be last? Last through the door. Last in line. Ever since I've been a pastor, I always eat last because you're supposed to serve your congregation. I always remind people this collar is a collar of a servant, not of somebody else's hierarchy. You're last on the priorities. No more me, 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 me. In this place, others become first. Now you look at that, what would happen to our society if that took over? Be almost like living in heaven, where everybody shares. And then he goes on, and the servant of all. Now Jesus is a servant of us. So we have to look at him to find out what it means to be a servant. One, you're an agent. And you know what an agent does? They make something happen for somebody else, not for themselves. Or be an assistant, somebody who helps, and you don't know who they are, they just are helping hands, nice people. You ever wonder who does all the small things back there in that kitchen or cleans up different places? Chauffeurs. Now, many of you who have children already know what that means. But think of all the people who need a ride to church or need a ride to the grocery store or need a ride with someone to talk to. That's what it means to be like a servant, a maid. Let me tell you something. We tried to do some work the other day in the house. We're in between cleaning ladies. Maids are the greatest people in the world. They do a lot of work for other people. They clean up after others. They're orderly. They don't go around asking for thanks. They just do it because it has to be done. They're stewards, servants. They manage what God gave them. Do you realize what God gave each and one of us here in this room? Time. We're still here. We are not retired from God's work. We're still active agents. We are still servants in the body of Christ. Worker. I can't tell you, in the 50 years in the ministry, that word has been used. We need some workers in the kitchen. We need some workers in this, and a couple workers in the choir, and we need workers everywhere. That's called members of the body of Christ. We're like ants. We're all workers. And the King is Christ Jesus. And finally, a good servant is always available. Hey, I need something to happen. I'll be right there. You know, it was quite a turn for me driving down here, and I got a text. I did not look at it while I was driving. I pulled over to see what, because it was, it rang who it was, and it was the pastor saying, I got COVID. Can you preach Sunday? So a servant is who we are, but each have different roles in the body of Christ. But we go on where Jesus responds farther. He had a little child stand among them and took the child in his arms and said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. See, back then, children were seen and not heard. Today, it's us old people. We're seen and not heard. That's a lie. But, you know, what does that mean, children? Do you know that we are all children of God? There are children out there who are lost, looking to find God. So we're all children. Trouble is, those children are fussy, wiggly, crying all the time, want their own way. I'll never forget my first church where we began to grow rapidly. And people were celebrating. We got new members coming. About 6 months later, the elders came and said, we got a problem. What's that? These people want to get nominated for being elders and get leadership in the church. And I said, okay. Isn't that why you wanted them in? No, we needed their money. That person was no longer an elder. But you see, What do we say to be like the children? We don't always mean the little ones. We're all children of God. So when he's talking about being the greatest, he's finally got us down to this whole thing. And then he ends up with, and whoever welcomes me, Jesus, does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. I've heard pastors say they can't find a job. They should not be in the pastorate for that. This is not a job. This is a calling. And the only reason you honor it is because you know who called me. The calling comes from Christ. So we come to represent him. And I kind of work through this whole thing as I'm trying to, where is God leading me on this whole thing working? And as we did the prayer, I thought, well, that's all the points. And being an ex-military, we live in acronyms. The heart of this whole thing, of this whole story, is how do we view Jesus? How does he fit into this whole story? He's the reason for everything. He's the mission of the church to make disciples of Christ. Well, how do we end up doing that? Well, let me give you a military acronym. You might understand if I spell it for you before I give it. You know, we in the military, we had NORAD, NATO, CETO, all kinds of different things. This one, I'll spell it first, then we'll walk through what it means. J-E-S-U-S. The J, judgment. We are judged entirely on how we're Christ-like. Do you know when you go to heaven, you are not judged on any bad things, only the good stuff, what your rewards are. Why? Because you've been forgiven your sins. That's what all the confession is about, and that's what death is about, stepping into the city of God. So Christ is about judgment. Are you being Christ-like in your life? Are you a servant of all people? E, enlightenment. What was the final thing Jesus said? I got to go because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Every one of us in this room have that gift. Some of us open it up. Some take a peek. We're almost afraid to open up fully and see what it's all about. But it brings us enlightenment. S is for submission. Being humble and leaving judgment to God. You know, I've said many times from this pulpit, John 3:16, everybody knows, but my favorite is John 3:17. Christ came to save the world, not condemn the world. So why are we religion and politics, all we do is condemn the other people, the ones who voted against us, the ones who are different than us, the ones who this, the ones who that? He says, that's not what it's all about. This whole story he was giving his disciples was, do you understand why I'm here and what's getting ready to happen? This is what life is about. And when you have it, you have that thing we all search for, peace of mind. I've been with so many different people as they've stepped into the other world. And to watch them with peace of mind and no fear, I kept thinking, that's the faith I want to have when it comes to be my time. And Christ is showing us that. You, unity. Realizing all of us are equal sinners, saved by Christ. I've had people, and I would do consulting in churches. I would go sit. I always picked out who the most favored person, the mucky muck of the church, and I would sit in his pew. I've been called names in churches for doing that. But we forget. All of us are equal. There is no hierarchy in the church. Why, in our faith, we call me a teaching elder, and we have ruling elders. There is no hierarchy other than Christ, and we are the body of Christ. So when we hear Jesus talk to his disciples in that last story as he's heading towards the end, we get the point. He's saying, we're a team. We're all in this together. Now quit your fussing and quit your arguing and pull together. Become servants to everybody and do what you want. And finally, the S, servant. Jesus is asked 17 times, what must I do to have eternal life? And he uses the Shema. Love the Lord God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you'll be saved. Boy, that destroys a lot of our religious people who have all these different rules and regulations for you getting, you know. It's fun. Do you know that in history, they had a rejection of church membership if you were left-handed? Seriously. And we have that kind of things now. Yes, you're welcome to our church, but first, and I would like to invent something to put on the door, so when someone walks through there, like at the airport, it'll tell me, this is an acceptable Presbyterian, or alarm will go off. I thought about, I built one, and when I went through, an alarm went off, and they kicked me out, so I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, but to be a servant, not just to others and yourself, but to Christ Jesus, to God. So if you put the word Jesus together, you see the whole message that he was giving in that story. Become like Christ. Have the Holy Spirit help you out. Be humble, non-judgmental. Remember, all of us are in this thing together. And do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So when you look at the title that Pastor had, Oh to Be Wise, I think it could be said this way. Oh to be like Jesus. You got that? You got all the wisdom in the world. And we'll end with one thing. Why don't people do that? Because Jesus got crucified and we don't want that. We only want the good stuff. To be like Christ is to be a servant and not worry about yourself, but worry about others. And to this we say, Amen.